We turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read the verses 21 to 29. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And for our text, we turn to Luke chapter 6, the verses 46 to 49. That is our text for this New Year's sermon. Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We have entered into a new year. And what will this year hold for you? Well, I can think of some young people who hope to graduate this year. And others, they may get engaged. Still others may be married in this coming year. Some may receive a child from the Lord. Some may experience sickness, and some may die. And it may be that this is the year the Lord will return again. But the question is, will we be like the foolish builder when we pass through this year? Will we be like him building on a sandy foundation? Or will we be like the wise builder who built on the rock? Our theme is building on the rock. Building on the rock. We'll first consider the parable, and secondly, some lessons. Building on the rock. First, we'll consider the parable, and then some lessons. The Lord in these verses is warning us against ruining ourselves. He warns us against doing something very dangerous. He tells us it is a dangerous thing to take His name upon our lips and to give the Lord some respect with our lips and to acknowledge the Lord that He is Lord but not to do what he says. Would that not be a terrible thing if that's how we live? To hear the Lord Jesus speak, to hear his word, and yet not to follow his words, not to keep his words, not to obey his words. And that is what the Lord wants to warn against as he is coming to the end of a sermon. You know that in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. A mass of people have gathered around the Lord Jesus to hear what he would say to them. They were a privileged people. All people who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus and who hear his words are a privileged people. For they may hear the chief prophet speaking. And they may hear his words. They may hear Christ the King speak. But when you listen to his words, then you cannot just listen and nothing else. You cannot just listen and then set his words aside. You cannot listen and then just leave his word aside. For that would be very, very dangerous for our soul. And so he tells the parable of two builders, building each of them their own home. And these builders have quite a bit in common. They both want to build a house. They both want a house, a place of shelter. They want the same thing. And so they think about the same thing. Their mind is occupied with the same thing. And they make plans for the same thing. The building of a house. They're interested in the same thing. And where are they going to build? I picture it this way, that these men, both of them, are going to build very near to each other. In the same area. Maybe even next to each other. And they are going to build their homes with the same design. They obviously like the same kind of house. For if you were to look at the blueprint of these two builders, their blueprint would show no difference between the one house and the other house. No real difference. So these builders, they order the same supplies. And they're going to use the same brick, and they're going to use the same doors, and they're going to use the same windows, and they're going to put the same shingles on their roof. Now let's go and watch them build. Come with me. Let's first look at the first builder. And when we come and we see him, we find him first digging. He's taken a shovel in his hand and he has begun to dig down. Now, that's not easy work. He is engaged in painstaking work. Look at him closely. You see the beads of sweat dripping down his face. And every once in a while, he wipes the brow of his head off, the sweat off his face. But he goes on digging and digging, digging deeper. At the end of the day, he's tired and he's sore. But the next day, he goes back to dig. Why is he digging? Well, because he needs a foundation on which to build his house. In order for him to begin to frame his house, what good will it do if he has a structure, but no foundation? You see, he is building. And while he is building, it is still nice weather. There's very little wind, there's no storm in the sky. But it's not always going to stay that way. And so he needs to have a firm foundation for his house, and so he digs. He's looking for rock. No, not just any rock, he's looking for bedrock, solid rock. So when he finds a big stone and he finds that he is able to move it, that will not do for his foundation. And so he has to hammer that stone out, and he has to dig on. He has to keep on digging as our text says, he digged deep. Literally, he digged and he went deep till he reaches an immovable stone, the bedrock. And on this rock, he can build his house. Now he has a solid foundation for his house. He can begin to build up now. But when we turn to look at the other builder, then we are a little surprised. For that man has built his house very quickly. He began at once to lay his brick. And the walls quickly go up, and before long he is up on the roof, putting the last shingles on. How did he do this so quickly? And we might look at that house and we might be very impressed with how far he has come along. And it may be that this second builder looks at his neighbor building and he says, "What's taking you so long? You've been slaving away and you have nothing to show for it. What are you digging for? What are you looking for? Just do it the easy way. You don't have to sweat and toil as you do now. Just do as I did." For you see, these men are both building. They're building the same kind of house. But the second builder is much quicker than the first builder. Why? Well, because the second builder skipped one step. Only one step he skipped. But he did skip the most important step. He did not dig. He did not dig deep into the ground. He did not seek to have as his foundation a solid rock as the first builder did. He did not dig deep into the earth to have a firm foundation. Oh, maybe he did have a rake. And he did smooth out the sand on which he was building. Maybe he made the sand level, but he did not dig down. And he did not build on an immovable rock. Well, after these builders are both done, and we look at the homes, we don't see much difference between the two homes. For when you see these homes side by side, then they look the same. They have the same brick. They have the same doors. They have the same windows, the same structure, the same shingles. From what you can tell, all looks the same. There's only one difference. The one is built on a foundation and the other is not built on a foundation. But that's not something that you can see. That's not something that is noticeable at first sight. You have to look under the house to see that. But you cannot see that. The only thing that will show the difference between the two houses is the storm. And on a certain day, the storm comes. No small storm, but a violent storm. Matthew pictures it that there is also a violent wind, but rains come down. The water rises quickly, and the stream that's nearby these homes is filling quickly to overflowing, and soon the water is swirling around the house, and it begins to smite and it begins to beat against the home. And it's beating against the first home. Let's watch it. Do you see it there? It's trying to overthrow that house, aiming to break it into pieces, but it cannot, because it is built on the rock, on an immovable rock. And that immovable rock cannot be swept away. And the rock is not shaken. And the house that is built on that rock is not shaken either, our text says. But the second house also comes under that same storm. Maybe the builder of that second house did not realize that a great storm would come one day. Maybe he thought to himself that it will continue as bright and as sunny days continually. Maybe he thought that later on he could build his house a little bit stronger, and maybe later on he would dig. But the storm comes, and he's not ready. For the rain comes down, and the water rises quickly, and the stream fills quickly to overflowing, and also swirls around his house, and begins to smite, and begins to beat against his house, and immediately it collapsed. It hardly took any effort of this storm to sweep down this house. The sand and the gravel on which it was built was swept away in a moment, and with an enormous crash, the foolish man's house fell into the water and was washed away, broken in little pieces like sticks. And the last words are these, "And the ruin of that house was great." Now, what is the Lord Jesus teaching about? Many have taken this parable to teach the doctrine of justification. They've taken this parable to teach that a sinner is safe only on Christ, the rock, for his acceptance with God. Now, that is true. A sinner is accepted by God. He is pardoned by God only for the sake of Christ. It's only Christ's blood and Christ's righteousness that can be the ground for a sinner to be accepted with God. And that's clearly taught in Scripture. As Romans 8 verse 1, for instance, "There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." But is that what the Lord Jesus is teaching here? I don't think so. Because the Lord Jesus keeps repeating in these verses that it is not enough simply to hear His word. And so it must have something to do with that. That it is not enough to hear His words. That the words which He speaks must also be put into practice. That His words which He speaks must also be heeded. The question that the Lord Jesus is raising for us is this: what do you do with my word? And so the point of the parable is not to teach the doctrine of justification, but the point of the parable is to warn us against setting Christ's word aside. And so we can draw some lessons. And the first lesson that we would draw is this, that the Lord is telling us here of a terrible sin. And the sin is this: just paying some respects to the Lord Jesus, but not practicing His words. He is telling us of this sin, that to acknowledge Him as Lord, but not to obey His word, is a great sin. That's what the Lord is addressing here. That's why He asks, verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And I picture that as He asks this question, He feels pain in His heart. For there are people who are quick to address Him as Lord, but not to let Him be the Lord of their lives. They do not keep His word. They do not practice what He says. And that's what the Lord would set before us also at the beginning of this year 2007. It matters what you do with my word. To hear it, but afterward to set it aside, is to sin against Him. That's the terrible sin that the Lord would teach us of. And has that not always been a terrible sin? And has this not happened far too often in the history of the church? That many people have come under the word. That they will come under the word and they will be gripped maybe by it. And they will say that He is Lord. And they will say that He is the Son of God. They will hearken to His words. And they will say that there is no more important word than the word of Christ. But they do not love His word. That's how many people were when they were listening to the Lord Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount. They were impressed with Him. Matthew 7 records that they were impressed by his authority, for he taught them not as one as the scribes did. But they did not love his word. They would not obey his word. And anticipating that, that's what the Lord Jesus ends his sermon with. The sin of not heeding his word. Now, can we give some examples, scriptural examples, of those who have done this? I think we can. We can give the example of the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus running. And he addressed the Lord Jesus, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He addressed him with the words, "Good Master." And so he is coming to the right person, and he is coming with the right address, and he's coming even with the right question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he shows that he is willing to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That's how he presents himself. And when the Lord Jesus answers this rich young ruler, he receives the right answer. But the rich young ruler went away sad. He came, and it seemed like he was willing to do anything that the Lord Jesus would say, whatever the Lord Jesus would tell him, but he went away not doing what Christ told him. He went away not treasuring Christ's word. He went away hanging on to his thoughts and parting with Christ's word. Or I can think of another example. The example of Judas Iscariot, who heard the Lord Jesus teach, who also said, "Lord, Lord," who followed the Lord Jesus. But one night he came to the Lord Jesus with a band of soldiers, and he approached the Lord Jesus saying, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. And all the time that Judas had spent with the Lord Jesus, he had heard the Lord Jesus, but he had never practiced what Christ had spoken. And so to call him Lord, to say, "I cannot deny that he is Lord. After all, the Bible says it, and the minister preaches it, and I believe that too." But not to love his word is like kissing him with the betrayer's kiss. It's like building your house on the sand, that when eternity comes and there is no change of heart and there is no change of life, then there will come a great ruin. Now, is that still being done today? What the Lord Jesus is talking about, is that still being done, to say, "Lord, Lord," but to leave his word aside? Yes. Sad to say, yes. How many are not content to come into God's house and to hear God's word, but not to keep it? They go home again, but they do not love the word that has come to them. They do not love the word of Christ. They do not dwell on his word. They do not seek the grace of God to live in accordance with his word. How many are not going on to eternity? Maybe saying, "Lord, Lord." Maybe calling themselves Christians, thinking of themselves to be true Christians. They think of themselves to be disciples, but they set aside the word of the Lord Jesus. They set aside the word of Christ, calling him Lord, but not heeding his word. That's the first lesson, the terrible sin that the Lord Jesus teaches us. A second lesson is the blessedness of the wise builder. The blessedness of the wise builder. What is the wise builder like? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us that the wise builder is like him who hears the word of Christ and does what Christ calls for. He does Christ's will. He hears the word of God and does Christ's will. He takes the words of Christ to heart. When Christ comes, this man is not content with simply hearing about what Christ has to say. He's not content with simply hearing Christ speak of repentance. He seeks to know this repentance. He seeks to turn from his heart, in his heart, from sin. He is not content with hearing about, "Blessed are those who mourn." He seeks to know the godly sorrow. He seeks to know what it is to sorrow rightly over sin. And he seeks to hate sin more and to flee from sin more. And he longs to know experientially the joy in God through Christ Jesus and live in all obedience to Him. As Lord's Day 33 tells us. You see, the wise builder is someone who has come to hear this not as the word of just anyone, but as the word of Christ. How come? Well, because Christ has been at work in his heart by the Holy Spirit, because he has been born again. It is the Lord who has come to him, and that word has come with power to his heart, and now he can no longer ignore the word of Christ. Far too long he has ignored it, far too long he has been sitting under the word of Christ, but it has done nothing to him, it has meant nothing to him. He's always parted with the word of Christ, setting it aside. He's counted his own words and his own thoughts more important than Christ's words. But now, he has come to see the word of Christ as more important. And the word of Christ more important than anything of his own thinking, anything of his own words, anything else than the world counts important. For Christ's words have to do with his soul, and Christ's words have to do with eternity. And that has become important to him. Christ's words have to do with Christ. They have to do with the Savior. And he has come to surrender to this Savior. He has come to love this Savior. He has come to love this Lord. And he has come to trust in him. And he has come to also heed his words. Love his word. In other words, he has become teachable by the Holy Spirit. And when you become teachable by the Holy Spirit, then you also come to love Christ, and you come to love Christ's words, and you want to be like Christ. You want to be conformed to Christ. You want to live by His word. You're not content with simply saying, Lord, Lord, but you say to the Lord, Lord, instruct me. Lord, teach me. Lord, rule me by Thy word and Spirit. I need Thy word in order to live. I need Thy word in order to die. I need to know Christ's will, and I need to love it. Have you been made teachable by the word of Christ? Are you like this blessed builder, this wise builder? Have you come to love his word? Have you come to heed it? Have you come to be busy with that word? And are you willing to part with anything in order that you might go in the ways of His commandments? Teach me all Thy laws to keep. Teach me all Thy words to heed. Teach me. Well, that comes with a cost. The cost of yourself. Comes with the cost. When you love the word of Christ, then you can't live as you once did. Then that means you have to deny yourself. That means you have to mortify sin. That means you have to pluck out the right eye. That means you have to cut off the right hand. That means it costs something to follow Christ. You have to deny yourself. Take up the cross. Follow after Him. And it's much easier not to do that. It's much easier not to deny yourself. It's much easier to build on sand and not dig deep. It costs a lot to dig deep. That takes work. But such is a Christian. He has been gripped by the word of Christ and enabled by the Holy Spirit to deny himself and to lay aside pride and to take up his cross and to put on the whole armor of God and to fight the good fight of faith. It comes with a cost. Also the cost of being mocked by others, being laughed at by others because men don't understand your tears. And men don't know what you love about the Lord Jesus, and they don't understand why you don't love the world. That means that they will laugh at you. They'll laugh at your hatred of sin They don't know the need of Christ, you see. They don't know the need of the word of the Lord. But you need His word. You need to heed His word. You would rather die than disobey His word when you're in your right place. And without this word, you would be lost. Without this word of Christ, you would be lost without the word of the prophet and of the teacher. But you say, His word I must have. Now, is the Christian's obedience, is that the ground of his salvation? No. Christ's blood alone is the ground of his salvation. And Christ speaks of that too in his word, does he not? And Christ calls for faith in that blood, does he not? And the Christian, he heeds that too. For the Christian, he knows that he can be saved only by the blood and righteousness of Christ. So the obedience to Christ's word is not the ground of his salvation. It's the blood of Christ alone. And the Christian's obedience to the word of the Lord Jesus is not the way of salvation either. The way of salvation is by faith alone. But the Christian's obedience to Christ's word is the fruit of salvation. It is the fruit of what Christ has merited. For Christ has merited this love for the word. Christ has merited the Holy Spirit who enables the Christian to begin to live according to all the commandments of the Lord. Christ has merited those affections that go out after the word of Christ. And because Christ has merited that, there will come self-denial. And there will come a heeding of Christ's word. How? In your own strength? No. Depending on the Spirit. Depending upon His strength. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2 verse 13. But then depending on His grace, then you come to heed His word. And you know how it is best to picture this man. This man who heeds the word of Christ. He is like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. At the beginning of his journey, what did he do? He had this book. And he heard the cries of the world. And he plugged his ears. And he ran, saying, "Life, life, eternal life," clinging to the book, clinging to the words of Christ. So, are you such a foolish, are you such a wise builder? Oh, I know that costs. Something. It costs pain and it costs sweat and it costs tears. But would you rather trade with the foolish builder? Would you rather buy his house? No. You know that you can only be grounded upon the foundation of the Lord. The Lord here calls this man wise. Let us not call him a fool, for the day of judgment will show that he will not be put to shame. He's been a lover of Christ's word and a heeder of Christ's word. He's been a lover of Christ the Savior, and he has been a student in the school of grace. And such a person will not be put to shame. Oh, such a person will come to die, that's true. And he will come to lie on his deathbed. And if you were to ask such a person, has heeding the word of Christ ever disappointed you? Has heeding the word of Christ so disappointed you that you would say, "Ah, if only I had not heeded the word of Christ." No, the wise builder will never say that. The wise builder says, "This word of Christ brings me joy. This word of Christ I love to heed. Ah, if only I had heeded it more. If only I had kept it more. His word is precious. If only I had heeded it more, there would have been less grief, less disappointment." That's the blessedness of the wise builder. But we learn also a third lesson. The wretchedness of the foolish builder. The wretchedness of the foolish builder. Now, the house of the foolish builder looks similar to the house of the wise builder. The difference is not so noticeable, and that's how it also can be between the false Christian and the true Christian. It's not always easy to tell. They can seem so similar. A false Christian, he wants the same thing as a true Christian wants. A false Christian wants pardon of sins too. He wants peace with God too. He wants to go to heaven when he dies too. He wants everlasting life too. For you see, he has come under the word of Christ. And Christ speaks of pardon and Christ speaks of peace. And when you hear of those things, who would not want these things? But there is a difference between the false Christian and the true Christian. Even if others cannot tell, the Lord knows. And He seeks to expose it. For such are still today who come under the word of Christ, who come under the gospel. And they may even enjoy hearing about the gospel. And they may hear and know many things about the gospel, and they may know many things about the scriptures. He does hear it. And he knows something of it. And he may not disagree with any of the words of Christ. In fact, he may agree with all the leading doctrines and all the leading teachings of Christ and of the Holy Spirit and of justification and sanctification and of repentance and faith and of conversion and holiness and about the Bible and prayer, as Ryle says. Such a person can hear about these things. And he can even talk about these things, and he may be able even to describe these things, and he may be able even to discuss these things, and he may be able even to preach on these things as Demas and Judas Iscariot, but he does not know these things experientially. He hears the words of Christ. He hears the things of Christ, the calls of Christ. He is interested in these things, and he may begin to rake the soil a little bit. And he may even dig a few times. But he will not surrender wholeheartedly to Christ. He will not unreservedly bow before Christ. He will not seek to break with sin. He will not seek a broken heart. He will not seek the grace of God earnestly, the gift of faith and the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, he may at times pray for it, but it is simply something he does to ease his own conscience, that he will not pray for it with his heart. And ultimately, what he does after hearing Christ's words is go his own way. Comes under the words of Christ, the reading at home. Comes under the words of Christ in church. He may be impressed. He may think on these things, but will not surrender his heart to Christ. He will not be subject wholeheartedly to Christ Jesus. He has never become teachable. He's building for eternity on an outward profession of Christianity. He's building for eternity on knowing and talking and knowing some things about Christ, but not surrendering. He's content to have a name that he lives, but all the while being dead. He's content to come to church and be under the truth. He's happy when a sermon is a good sermon. He's happy to have the form of godliness, but not the power of it. And he may call Jesus Lord, Lord, but not take his word to heart. It's a dangerous thing. It's dangerous, dear congregation, to come under the words of Christ and not to heed them. It's a dangerous thing to come under the words of Christ and not be subject to this King. Such is a Christianity that will collapse like the house of the foolish builder. Such souls will experience great ruin. Those are the last words of the Lord Jesus in this parable. And the ruin of that house was great. What a terrible ruin it was for that building. What a terrible ruin it will be for that soul who is ruined eternally. A great ruin indeed. For the loss of one person's soul is an eternal ruin. And that ruin cannot be undone. It cannot be reversed. Dear congregation, what do we do with Christ's word? What will we do with it in this year 2007? Will we hear it only? Will we maybe love to hear it, but that only? Will we love to hear the gospel preached to us? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but not obey the gospel. Do we trust in the blood of Christ? Do we know of the embracing of the Lord Jesus with a true faith? Do we love the truth? Do we also submit to the truth? When the Lord Jesus tells us about the straight gate, then we hear about the straight gate. Do we also strive to enter in at the straight gate? And when we hear about holiness, the call to be holy as He is holy, do we only hear that? Or do we seek after holiness? Do we think lightly of sin? Or is there a running from sin? Do we take His word to heart? Is it engraven upon our hearts? What are we building on? Are we like the wise builder building upon the rock, or are we building on the sand? There are only two possibilities. You either fit under the one or under the other. There are not three builders. There's only two builders. There's only two buildings. There's either the wise or the foolish. And do you know that by nature we are inclined to be foolish? We are prone to build on the sand, to scrap the foundation, to ignore that, to set it aside, and to think that we will be all right in the end. Do you know that we are prone to hear Christ, but not to heed Him? Do we know that we are prone to think all will be well in the end, but we have set His word aside? Do we heed Christ's words? Has there come a change of heart? Have we been seeking for a change of heart earnestly? Boys and girls, do we pray for that? Lord, give me a new heart, so that I may heed Thee, that I might love Thy word and keep it. Are you subject to King Jesus? What will it prove every time we come under the word preached and we leave the doors of this building? That you are subject to Him? Or that you sat here nicely calling Him Lord, Lord? But that was it. Christ calls us to repent. Christ calls us to trust His blood. Christ calls us to love His word. Christ calls us to seek after holiness. Do you know this? Repentance from sin. Do you trust His blood? Do you love His word? Do you seek after holiness? It is easier to admire Christ's call. It is easier to hear it only, but not follow it. What are we building on? Are we building on the rock? Or are we building on the sand? What will happen when the tempest comes? What will happen when the storm comes? Will it stand unshaken? Or will there be a great ruin? Because we heard the word of Christ, but we set it aside. What if you discover that you are just a hearer of the word of Christ, but not a doer? that you've been building a house, and maybe you didn't even know that you were building a house, but you've been building a house, and the worst thing is that you are without a foundation for that house. And maybe no one else can tell it. But you say, I'm afraid that the Lord Jesus is addressing this parable just for me. Then what? You've already got some brick up. You've got some windows in your house. And maybe you're beginning to build the shingles. But you have no foundation. What if you discover that? Ask the Lord to knock down what you have been building. And seek grace of Him to dig. And to dig deep. Seek grace of God in order that you might be founded upon Christ and His Word. Seek grace to know true repentance. Seek grace to know true faith. Seek grace to know true love, true holiness. Beg God for mercy and help. For remember who's speaking here. He's willing to give us what we need. This is the words of Christ we are hearing. And He speaks with authority. And He gives His Holy Spirit. And He is able to let that word have an effect on your heart. He is able to open your ears. He is able to make you bow. Because of what He did. Christ did all that the Father told Him to do. He says, I have come to do Thy will, O my God. I have come even to die a substitute for a guilty people. So that others might begin to do His will. He went to the cross. In order that sinners may learn to obey and heed His will. Let me end with three words of counsel. Dear congregation, a year is before us. We don't know how long we will live. But let me give three words of counsel for whenever we come under the word preached. And whenever we come under the word read. First, heed His word. Submit to His word. He is so good in letting you hear His word. Letting you hear His voice. Letting you hear His calls. Submit then to Him. Beg for grace to follow Him. Oh, we should be dependent on grace, dependent upon His mercy whenever we come here to the house of the Lord, and depend upon the Spirit of Christ. And when the Lord exposes us that we are foolish, we are building foolishly, then He shows that He is still coming to you in the day of grace. And He says to you yet in the day of grace, turn, my friend, build upon my word only. He is a good-doing Savior. Heed Him. The second word of counsel is this. That every time you come in these walls, something important happens. Something important happens whenever you come in these walls. Something important happens when we come under the Word at home. Something important happens each time. Oh, I know that we are prone to think that nothing important happens in these walls. And we can leave these church doors, and we can leave, and we can never think upon the Word again. But what has happened is this. You have come under the words of Christ. And your response to that Word of Christ is going to impact eternity. Nothing else will impact your response. Nothing else will impact eternity so much as whether you hear and heed. Let us remember that every time we come under the word of Christ, if we ignore it, we are trifling with our souls. And thirdly, a word of counsel to God's people. What is it? What if you have begun to find yourself growing deaf? What if you find that you have not been active with the Word of Christ as you should be? That you've not been busy with His Word on your knees? Then you need to return to Him. Then you need to plead for pardon and say, Lord, teach me. Thy Word is good. I must obey Thy Word. Lord, I must part with sin. I cannot of myself. Wilt thou grant it? Wilt thou give? Help me thy will to do. Thy truth I will pursue. Teach me to fear. Give me the single eye. Thy name to glorify. For Jesus' sake. Amen.